Hi, everybody. This is Mark Chaffardini. Welcome back to the Go See Talk podcast. I am excited to speak to our next guest in our short film series, Anil Kharia, who did one amazing short film called The Long Goodbye that he co-wrote with Riz Ahmed. We're excited to have Anil on the podcast to discuss the journey from a very well-intentioned and powerful short film to now Oscar-nominated short film. Anil, thank you for joining us. How's things in your world?
Yeah, not bad, thank you. Pretty good, pretty hectic. I'm just juggling work and kids and all that madness.
Full-time job, I can totally I can relate. You know, let's just go to the very beginning. This is an incredible journey, very powerful and probably emotional for you and Riz. So how are you feeling right now? And what are the biggest, I guess, high points in this whole journey?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know this sounds kind of trite and this is what everyone kind of says, but the journey of the film has kind of blown our minds. You know, I don't think anyone sets out making a short film thinking, well, there's just too much hard work and stress and, you know, challenges immediately in front of you when you're making a short film like this, to start thinking in the abstract about its potential successes or accolades or things like that. But, you know, it's particularly true with this film. We were making it in quite intense conditions. We shot it over 2 days, which unfortunately happened to be the two shortest days of the year in the sort of deep English winter. So we had this ludicrous amount of daylight in, you know, like 6.5 hours a day or something, in what was a film made completely with natural light, basically. So, you know, my point is we were up against it in such a big way that we just didn't have time or headspace to start thinking, oh, what if this, what if that? I think this is true of many filmmakers, but I also get so snowblind when I'm making something, you know, particularly through the edit. Like I generally end up finishing edits completely baffled whether we've made something fantastic or absurd or like incredibly mediocre. And that's where I ended up with this edit. I was like, okay, feels interesting, maybe, God knows. And so we just, you know, that's the beauty of kind of a film. You just have to get it out there, I suppose, and start understanding what you made, which is kind of interesting. But we were definitely not ready for the kind of the affection that people had for this film and the meaning it seemed to have for so many people. In the immediate short term, it was very noticeable how the South Asian community was sort of deeply affected and moved by it, which was very emotionally kind of, it was moving for us. And you know, we made this just before kind of everything went crazy pandemic wise. So this film ended up having a, you know, we shot it before then, but its life was lived through the pandemic. So it started playing at these festivals and things like that and virtually. And when you're kind of in lockdown, it ends up being your conduit that exists in the world out there, you know, which is kind of strange. So like your film is out there, but you're at home and you get to hear through the internet or, you know, how it's being received. And that was really interesting, actually. It was like a connection our film ended up being with the world through lockdown, which was really interesting. And then, yeah, it started getting kind of amazing accolades domestically. It won BIFFA and stuff like this. It was getting awarded at some amazing festivals, and that was blowing our minds as it was, you know, let alone getting on the Oscar shortlist and things like that. It's a surreal and beautiful feeling to be here, to have arrived here at this place, to know that it's touched people in the way we hoped it would, is really, really special, because it's challenging, I suppose. You know, it's not a pleasant watch in some ways. It's difficult, and I think that makes it even more touching that it's gone on this journey, because despite it being hard work in many ways, people are willing to kind of do that work and and still give it that respect, you know, and admiration, despite it taking you to sort of those harsh places, which I think is even more touching, really. Yeah.
Well, you know, I couldn't agree more. I in a world where we kind of let things go by too quickly, I think that, like you said, this was the perfect opportunity for people to capture this small moment of truth. And I think I could just imagine, you know, people say that actions speak louder than words, but in this instance, words speak the loudest. I think that, you know, as Reese finishes off the document or the short film by saying, "My tribe is a quest to a land that was lost to me, and its name was dignity." I mean, I could just imagine, like, in my head, a wall, and I could just imagine every word in the short knocking down bricks in a wall. And I think that just, it's so compelling. It's in what you said, using the resources that you had, the 2 days, it almost seemed like for the film to sort of culminate as the sun was setting. Maybe was that intentioned? Because it seemed to fill beautifully, like poetically.
Well, it was kind of a mixture of intention and, you know, luck and just mayhem. It felt like it was only right to schedule this shoot chronologically. You know, it was such an emotional experience that we were trying to create, and it genuinely was a deeply emotional kind of and challenging experience for the actors to go through as well. It felt kind of crazy to start thinking, okay, let's break this up and, you know, do this. So we knew how early it was going to get, dusk was going to come and it was going to get dark, and we knew we'd be up against it. So we knew that Riz's monologue or poem at the end would fall when it was getting kind of dusky, and we thought there might be something kind of beautiful about that with the kind of low sun and things like that, but the reality was, it, you know, we were so up against it that that the sun was setting real fast, and, you know, we were not just getting that low sun, we were descending into total darkness if we weren't careful. So we always wanted to shoot that as a one take. I felt like you say, those words are so powerful and potent, and Riz's delivery is so kind of killer that you want it to be one unbroken experience. You know, we shift into a different tonal realm there, and he kind of breaks the fourth wall and he connects with you in a very firsthand kind of intense way. And it felt like it had to be unbroken, you know. But what we didn't know was that darkness would be falling quicker than we could ever imagine. We only did 2 takes and it was getting pretty dark by the last time. But like you say, you know, some of these things, sometimes fate / luck / kind of just the urgency of shoots, sometimes they feel kind of like a headache in the moment. But then when the film's coming together, you realize there's some kind of beauty to that. Like you say, it kind of feels fitting how that light, the journey of the light works there. And sometimes you just get kind of lucky.
One of the things that captured my attention, imagination at the beginning of the short is how quickly the cuts were happening. And is that kind of the style that you personally like? Is that what you felt was necessary for the short?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's partly about the way I shoot, you know, and work with the editor. I work with a lot, Amanda, who's incredible. And I think has such a key role in this film's kind of success, because it's so beautifully cut, I think. But, you know, I work in a kind of semi-improvisational way, especially, you know, particularly on this film, where we have a script, but not in kind of traditional script form. The idea originally existed as just a kind of document of prose, you know, like in paragraphs. This is, okay, we're in a family, this is happening, and then this is happening. And then before the shoot, I wrangle that into this kind of quite scientific, almost quite boring, like Excel type document, where it's like a beat sheet. It's very structured, like document, where it's like, okay, we're in this room, such and such characters are in there, this is the energy, they're talking about this, they're arguing over that, someone comes in or that happens and the thing shifts and one of them leaves or whatever. It's quite kind of quite functional document, I suppose. And the idea of that is that we have enough structure so that we know what's happening in that scene or moment. We know that it begins at A and it finishes at B. but it's leaving enough openness, you know, dialogue isn't pinned down. It's leaving enough openness for that kind of unpredictable, kind of authentic, kind of fizzy kind of energy and the dialogue that brings. So yeah, it's this kind of semi-improvisational thing. And then the way we shoot that is, you know, it's not conventional coverage. It's not like, okay, let's start wide. Let's get your mid shot. Let's get your medium close up. Let's move in now. Okay, let's turn it around. It's very instinctive, you know, blocking wise. We create a 360 environment. We light it 360. We dress it 360. We want that house to feel like their house. You know, that is your home. You can inhabit it like your home. That's what we want to be able to tell the actors. And so we are instinctive to them rather than the other way around. It's not like we are telling them their marks and they're blocking and it's like, don't go here because we're not lit, etc. So we give them as much freedom as possible. And then Stuart, the film's DOP, who's also incredible, has an amazing talent for remaining completely intuitive and instinctive to where the actors are going and where the emotion of the scene is going. And he follows it and we grab moments and you get this real, I think it was important to me to get thrown into this family and all the kind of kinetic, kind of messy in the best possible way, like chaos that a family home normally brings with it. And, you know, that's how we embraced it. We, you know, the camera's swinging around, we're finding moments here and there. Some of them are connected, some of them are kind of a little bit disjointed. And then the edit is a huge part of finding that flow again to it. And it's hard work for Amanda because, you know, because it's not that traditional coverage, it's like, it's got a different, you know, flow to it, and breaking that down and then building it up again is complicated. But when it works, it's beautiful. And I think she brought that flow to it in such a special way.
It's fine by leaving the camera rolling a couple extra seconds. You found just like a bit of magic that you were able to glean onto, and maybe it made it into the edit, a look or a gesture or something. Because I did feel a lot of warmth from the family. And that was even more heartbreaking when their home was invaded and they were, you know, taken away.
Exactly, yeah. It was so key that we... I mean, it's a slightly naff way of putting it, or a corny way of putting it, but it's really important that you kind of fall in love a little bit with that family in a very short space of time. Or, you know, you might not need to fall in love with them, but you need to intimately feel like you know them quite quickly, so that when this radical shift happens and, you know, this terrible event happens, you are locked in and like you believe these people. It's not like you've shifted into some kind of pointless genre kind of heightened world which doesn't really exist. It needs to feel like this is really happening. So that was very important. And in terms of leaving the camera running, I definitely think that brings, you know, sometimes magic and great moments, but sometimes just reality. You know, it might be that you linger it there and nothing is happening and it's kind of mundane and boring, but that's a part of authenticity too, that kind of nothingness. So yeah, that's definitely something I tried to do. Yeah.
Excellent. I think it's just so well structured, so dense. And I find myself drawn a lot more these days to short stories and shorts like this, because they do offer, and it's not that we don't have the time for it or short attention span theater, but it's just, there's, you know, it doesn't need to take 120 minutes. It could take 11, it could take 4, because if you have a concise enough story and you're professional enough in executing it, it can do wonders. So again, congratulations to you and Reese. You know, Reese did a webcast with Guz Khan and Hasan Minhaj. And one of the things they talked about, that responsibility is a blessing. And there's a thought that they had in the panel that, how do we move past this? Because, you know, sometimes you look at yourself, and now that you're a success, you look at yourself as almost a spokesperson, maybe a put upon figure. Do you find yourself that you're in now maybe a position to help direct the flow, or, you know, maybe it gives you a platform to talk about these things more? Was any of this ever intended from the very beginning?
Well, I mean, the film was born from a kind of the most organic place any project I've kind of developed, in inverted commas, has been, because really it just began, we hadn't met before, Riz and I. We were introduced and we just began talking about, you know, who we are, what's creatively inspiring us at the moment, what's emotionally inspiring us, what's depressing us, you know, what's giving us hope, what's making us like, what's getting us down. And, you know, inevitably it was, it seems like the whole world is in a kind of one long politically complex moment, but it was particularly febrile back then in the UK when we were talking about this stuff. So clearly that stuff was informing us. So it wasn't so much a sort of systematic decision to let's make something about this, or we feel obliged to tackle, you know, these topics, or we have a platform, so therefore we must do X or Y. It was actually came from a very personal place. But I guess, and if you're conscious in any way as a human being, personal can't help but be wrapped up in the political to some extent. So I guess what I'm saying is, I think if you make things, again, you know, it can seem like a cheesy phrase, but I think it's true. If you make things from the heart and you happen to care about the planet we live in and the its ills, then your films will speak to where we were at as a society and hopefully do something useful. I'm not sure, I mean, it's a big, much bigger subject, you know, than a few minutes, but I'm not sure how useful it is if you start feeling obliged to tackle X subject or Y subject. I mean, of course, it's important to use your voice well, but particularly as a young filmmaker, which, you know, I don't know whether I'm young anymore, but particularly as a young filmmaker, I think it can feel creatively inhibiting if you feel like you are obliged to, you know, because after all, a young black filmmaker or a young Asian filmmaker might feel obliged to talk about issues specific to their community in a way that a young white filmmaker wouldn't, and they'd have the freedom to just make, you know, to creatively pick from a limitless kind of palette, you know, and I don't think you should be limited by it, because but I think like I say, it's a complicated one, because if you look in here, then I think that the personal is really separated truly from the political, and you know, everyone has something important to say, and I think, I guess what I'm saying is, hopefully you can simultaneously tell something from your own kind of soul and also speak to where we're at and start important conversations.
Yeah, I think that none of us could really do the things we do unless we have these trauma, pain, or issues that we could probably either speak to, or as you said, you wanted to make something personally. So maybe it was an unfair question, but I appreciate the honesty and the openness.
Yeah, it's something I think about a lot. Yeah, it's like, I think I do feel compelled / obliged in a way to tackle important subjects, and but I guess that's, you know, it's not too methodical, I suppose, when I look back. Yeah.
Well, we'll end this up by saying that there's an expression that goes, if you reach one person, you've done your job. So I want to just reach out to you directly, virtually. You've connected with me. You know, there's beauty and horror happening in the world simultaneously. And I'm very happy to be speaking with you about this. And I can just champion you and Reese for your effort. So we look forward to seeing you across that stage, and please everyone check out The Long Goodbye. And Anil, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks a lot. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Cheers.